expect to, for these next few days that we're together, spend our time considering the life of Jacob. And last night we looked in chapter number 32 and also a little bit in chapter 28. Tonight I want to look in chapter 27 for a little while. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to look at Jacob's wives, those two wives, Rachel and Leah. You pray about that, and I'm praying about it. And several things I want us to learn from the life of Jacob before we're done. I learn sometimes, you know, you learn from teaching. People teach you things. But I remember a preacher friend of mine not long ago who said to the young man who was his associate, he said, "Now, if you'll pay attention to what I do, you'll learn a great deal." You say, well, that sounds a little bit boastful, but here's the rest of it. He said, what you'll learn most is what not to do. If you follow me around, you can learn from my mistakes and not make the same ones yourselves. So we can look in the lives of some of the people in the Bible and learn from their mistakes and not make the same mistakes ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've made a few mistakes in my life. Some things that I regret, some things I'd like to do over, some things I wished I'd never done, some things I wished I'd never said, some things I wished I'd never seen, and some things I wished I'd never heard. So maybe tonight, if we'll look in the life of Jacob and look at his daddy for a little while, Isaac, maybe we'll learn something that we can avoid. I want us to think about Isaac for a moment. In chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son," and he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love. And bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his father said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." He came near and kissed him, and smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. Let's pray a moment. Father, I love you tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for the Word of God. It's able to make us wise unto salvation. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would rebuke and reprove and exhort us from the Scripture by the work of the Holy Ghost. And I pray we would be warned tonight, and that we would be encouraged, that we'd be edified and strengthened, that we would be prepared for the attack of the enemy, and that we might not make shipwreck of the faith. I pray tonight, Lord, you'll help us. We certainly do need you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about Isaac tonight. And I like to call this message, I actually have two titles for it. I like to call it Isaac, Corrupted by the Flesh, or Please Pass the Venison. I want to talk to you about this man, Isaac. Some things about him. This is a sad chapter in the life of Isaac. He makes a terrible mistake in blessing Jacob rather than Esau. I know that in the New Testament, the Bible says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. I know that in the book of Hebrews. But the blessing that we read about in chapter 27 is not the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith is in chapter 28. When Isaac blesses Jacob as he leaves and flees, Isaac does not know he's fleeing, but he's fleeing from his brother. This blessing in Genesis 27 is not the blessing of faith, it is the blessing of feeling. You'll notice that Isaac felt of him. And when he felt of him, he felt like Esau rather than Jacob. And I will say this to you, friend, whenever you go by feeling rather than faith, you'll make the same kind of mistakes that Isaac did here. You'll make a misjudgment. We're not to walk by our feelings. Now, I'm glad that I can feel saved and feel good, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's some days I don't feel saved, and sometimes I don't feel very good. But I'm still saved, and I know that because of faith. Amen and amen. But Isaac here gives us an example of someone who starts out well but doesn't finish good. It's interesting to me that when we read about the patriarchs in the Bible, God was wont to often say, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He talked about those three men. But I was studying one day and I found that when you think about Abraham, there are in the book of Genesis 13 chapters devoted to Abraham. 13 chapters where he is the central figure and the storyline is really about him. 13 chapters. When you think about Jacob, who we learned a little bit about last night, there are 8 chapters devoted to Jacob. 8 chapters where the main storyline is about him. Did you know there's only one chapter, I believe it's chapter 26, where Isaac is the main picture, or the storyline is about Isaac, or that he is the main focus. So you have 13 about Abraham. You have 8 about Jacob. You have 1 about Isaac. And I'm wondering to myself, could it be that Isaac's life was not an outstanding Christian life? It was not an outstanding life of faith. And so God didn't have a great many chapters to say good about Isaac. I want us to study him for a moment and think about him. And there are three things that I want to bring to your attention about Isaac. Number one, I want us to consider him as a child of promise. He was a child of promise. Isaac had a very unusual beginning, a very miraculous beginning. And if we only studied his beginning, we'd say, man, what a guy. He is a wonderful beginning. I think about his beginning. He had an unusual birth. The Bible said that Abraham wanted a son. And in Genesis 15, God promised him a son. But God did not fulfill that promise until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was about 90. Can you imagine that? 100-year-old man going down to Ace Hardware and buying a bassinet. Amen. And they're asking him what he's doing down there. And he said, well, I'm going to have a son. I can imagine how they laughed at him and carried on. But you know what Isaac was? He was a miracle son. He had a miraculous birth. He was a promised son. And in the New Testament, his birth is used as an analogy and an illustration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Paul talks about the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and uses him in reference to Christ. And so when he was born, he was an Old Testament type and picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who also had an unusual birth. Isaac was born of a woman who was barren. She couldn't have any children. The Lord Jesus was not born of a woman who was barren, but he was born of a woman who was a virgin. And so it took a miracle in both instances for the child to be born. So he had an unusual birth. Not only does he remind me of the Lord in his birth, but he also had an unusual obedience. In Genesis chapter number 22, God says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up to a mountain, I'll show thee, and offer him there a burnt offering. And so Abraham takes his son. Now, as close as I can figure it out, Isaac is somewhere between 6 years old and 20 years old when they went up on that mountain. And you remember what happened on the way up? They're going up the mountain, and Abraham says to the servants, abide here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And they leave them, and as they're walking up that hill, Isaac looks over at his daddy and said, now, daddy, we got the fire and we got the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? And the Bible said, God, Abraham answered him and said, God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. And up that hill they went, and I can see his daddy building that altar and laying the wood on the altar and getting ready to burn the fire, start the fire. And he says to his son, all right, Isaac, lie down. Isaac would say, what do you mean lie down? Abraham said, you're the offering. God said, you're the sacrifice. And so he laid down on that altar. Bible doesn't say anything about Abraham having to chase him down and tackle him and tie him up or tote him to that altar. I believe he laid down on that altar in obedience to his father to become the sacrifice. But you know what happened? God didn't let him offer up Isaac. God sent a ram to be the substitute. But you see, that unusual obedience is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who willingly laid down his life. He said, no man take my life, I'll lay it down. He willingly laid down his life for you and I on the cross of Calvary. Then he not only had an unusual birth and he had an unusual obedience, but I like this one, he had an unusual courtship. An unusual courtship. You see, in Genesis 24, Abraham says to his servant, I want you to go find a bride for my son Isaac. Don't take him a bride of these Canaanites. Go back to my own people. And so the servant heads off, and he comes to the house of Abraham's relatives, and there he finds a young woman, Rebekah, and he begins to tell her about Isaac, and he begins to tell her about Abraham, and he begins to tell her about the master's house and all the wonderful things, and he gives her a few little gifts, and then he finally says to her, will you go? What he's asking her is, will you marry Isaac? He said, will you go? She said, I'll go. Do you understand? She said, I'll go marry a man I've never met, I've never seen. Billy Kelly used to say there's one of two things about it. Either she is hankering to get married, it's leap year, one or the other. And she is ready to leap in. And so she went off and headed down there. I'd love to preach on that a while. That servant represents the Holy Spirit. And he came and he wooed her in the place of Isaac. And he gave her some gifts. And he said, will you go? And she said, I'll go. And that's what the Holy Ghost did to me. I've never met Jesus, but I got wooed by the Holy Ghost in the place of Jesus. Jesus and he came and said, will you go? And I said, I'll go. And I've headed off on this journey. And I can see them going along and they're going through a dark night. And maybe she'd get a little bit afraid in the darkness. And that servant would ride up and maybe just get close to her and say, in a very soothing voice, saying, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about the darkness. I got the light. We're okay. And maybe she'd hear the wolves howling and she'd get a little nervous and the wolves howling. He said, now don't worry about it. We faced these wolves before. And maybe they'd be going up the side of the mountain and there's cliffs on the side and she'd wonder if he knew the way. And he said, now don't you worry. I've been this way before. I've never lost one yet. They ain't going to lose you. And then one of these days she come up there. She come up there and she, I was listening to Harold Sittler preach one time. That I'm getting hung up. I may never get to point number two. But he was preaching at Greer Camp Meeting. And there's about 1,000 people there. And he's preaching from Genesis 24. You remember how I used to preach it? How many ever heard Dr. Sittler preach? He preached with that low gravelly voice. He'd throw that finger in the air like that. And he said, Rebecca tiptoed up. She leaped off her camel and tiptoed up and peeked over. And then he stopped and he said, she made it. She made it. He said, she made it all the way. And then he said, why would God tell me she made it unless I'm going to make it? I tell you, friend, we're going to make it all the way to heaven. The Holy Ghost is going to make sure of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Kept by the power of God. Amen. I'm going all the way. I'm not going to get lost on the journey. I'm not going to get devoured by wild animals. I'm going all the way to the glory world. The servant's going to make sure of that. Amen. Boy, let's just recess and shout a while. Amen. I'm talking about an unusual beginning. A child of promise. Now listen, let me say this before I go on. I need to hurry on. But let me say this before I go on. Every born again believer is a child of promise. Every one of us had, glory to God, when we got saved, we got a new beginning. We got a fresh start. Our old slate was wiped clean in the blood of Christ and we began a brand new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And those all things, the next verse said, are of God. God has done a wonderful work in our life and given us, hallelujah, we are not what we used to be. Amen. And such were some of you. That's what the Bible said. But we are children of promise. Now the devil come by. I'm just stuck here and I may just stay. Who knows? The devil will come by and he'll say, you're a nobody. You're a no good. He'll say, don't you remember what you were? You just look him in the eye and say, that's the operative word, were. I'm not what I was. And such were. And one fellow, and I like this, he said, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amen. You just tell him where he's headed. He's going to the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, and he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. We're going to the new Jerusalem, the glory land, and we're going to live with Jesus. Why? Because we've been born again. We're children of promise. Now the world will say, well, you're missing out. And the world will say, you don't get to have fun. I never knew what fun was till I got saved. I never knew what joy was till I started hanging around with God's people. Amen. I'm having a time right now, and I ain't drunk, and I ain't shot nothing up, and I don't have no rock music, and I ain't been involved in any wickedness, and I'm having the time of my life. Now you say, well, Christians don't have any fun. Oh, we're children of promise. We got a good life down here, and the best is yet to come. Amen. My old preacher friend Billy Kelly used to say, he'd say, you go down to one of those homecomings. You know, we're going to have a meal here on Saturday. And I've ate here before when these ladies have cooked. And I'm looking forward to Saturday. And I know what it'd be like. We'd go down there and you get in some of these homecomings and they'll bring out fried chicken and roast beef. And they'll bring out all kind of stuff, that good country ham and all that stuff. And there'll be beans and peas and there'll be mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. Amen. And there'd be all this kind of stuff that, now I don't know if you're going to have these or not, but there might be collard greens and turnip greens, amen, with a little bit of oil put in them, amen, some of that fat back in there, hallelujah, and that feeds you up. Maybe we'll have a little cornbread and some good biscuits, amen, and we'll get all done and we'll get ourselves about filled up, and somebody will come and take our plate, and then they'll say this, keep your fork, the best is yet to come, amen, and that's what happens, that's the way it is in the
Christian life. God gives us wonderful things here, but the best is yet to come. I'm saying we're children of promise. I don't know what you're discouraged about tonight, but you ought not be discouraged. You're a child of promise. I don't know why you let the world, we let the world beat us down and say, well, you're missing things out. I don't know why we get to envying and looking and saying, I wish I could do so and so. We're children of promise. We've got the best life there is in this world and the best life to come. If you're saved, this is the hardest you'll ever have it. It only gets better. You say, well, I got problems, preacher. You don't have a single problem one trip to heaven wouldn't cure. Amen. One trip to heaven going to take care of every sigh and every heartache and every trial and every difficulty. Excuse me, I'm just enjoying being saved. Amen. And I hope that you are. We're children of promise. Are you a child of promise? See, if you're saved, that's what you are. We've got exceeding great and precious promises. Well, we'll just preach on those a little while. What wonderful promises we have. But now, wait a minute. Isaac was a child of promise, had a wonderful beginning. But something happened to Isaac as he was growing old. Isaac, the child of promise, became a man of pleasure. I want you to notice something in chapter 27. I want you to notice a little phrase that's repeated three times. It's found first in verse 4. And make me savory meat, such as I love. And then look in verse number 9. Go now to feed the flock and fetch me, or now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Then look in verse 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Venison is found in this chapter about seven times. And three times we're told that Isaac loves his savory meat. The first time he tells us himself, savory meat such as I love. The second time his wife tells us, such as he loveth. The third time the Holy Ghost tells us, savory meat, such as his father loved. It's interesting to me that somewhere between childhood and adulthood, Isaac has fallen in love with eating. Now, I'm not necessarily preaching on eating tonight. The Holy Ghost might preach to us about it a little bit. But I'm preaching tonight on the flesh. Indulging the flesh. Pampering the flesh. It could be the sin of gluttony. Could be laziness. Could be immorality. Pampering the flesh. Living to satisfy the needs of the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. Say, well now, preacher, you're being a little hard on this man, Isaac, am I? I want to show you some things about his flesh. I want you to see, first of all, that his relationships are ruled by his flesh. Go back to chapter 25 and let's read verses 27 and 28. In verse 27, it says, and the boys grew, talking about Esau and Jacob. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now listen to verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau. How come? Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, doesn't it strike you funny that the Bible does not say Isaac loved Esau because he was a fine young man? Isaac loved Esau because he was an obedient son. Or better yet, Isaac loved Esau because Esau was Isaac's son. That ought to be reason enough. But that's not what it says. It says Isaac loved Esau for this reason. Esau fed him his precious venison. He wasn't in love with
Esau. He's in love with Esau's venison.
Three times we're told in chapter 27 that he loves the venison. We're not told anywhere in chapter 27 that he loves God. Not one time. Not one time does it say, come, I want to bless you because I love the Lord. Let's talk about how good God is. He said, no, go get me something to eat.
Get me some venison. Savory meat such as I love it.
I wonder how often our relationships are ruled by our flesh. We love people if they're good to us. If you treat me good, I will love you. If you treat me bad, don't turn your back on me.
I used amen in a while ago.
His relationships.
Wonder if our relationship with the Lord is ruled by our flesh.
Lord, I'll pray
if I can find the time.
I'll read my Bible
if it's convenient.
I'll go soul winning
if nobody cusses me out. If the sun is shining, and if it's easy.
Well, I was going to go and worship the Lord with the people of God, but I had a headache. I was going to go soul winning and try and win someone to Christ, but you know, I was tired.
Not only were his relationships ruled by the flesh, but all of his activities, even his spiritual activity. Now this interests me. Go back to chapter 27, notice this. He calls for his eldest son, and he says to him in verse 2, look what he said. Isaac said, behold, now I am old. Now listen to this. I know not the day of my death. He said, I'm an old man, and I don't know when I'm going to die.
And I want to show you that apparently Isaac thought that death was close. The reason I know that is because after Jacob steals the blessing, Esau is angry and he hates his brother. And I want you to look in verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, listen to this, the days of mourning for my father are at hand.
What does that mean, mourning? He's talking about mourning after his father's death, and he said those days are at hand. So apparently, they all thought he is close to death.
So Isaac says, I'm close to death. Esau thinks he's close to death. And so he said, I could die at any time, and there is some spiritual business we've got to take care of, and we've got no time to lose because I may die. We've got to get to this business, and we're going to
just as soon as we get done eating. Said, I could die at any time, and I want to bless you. But let's have something to eat. Let's feed this old flesh first. Let's make sure the flesh is satisfied before we do anything in the spirit. Here is a man living for his flesh. Now, I don't know this, and I wouldn't argue with you about it. But do you reckon the reason his eyes are dim? Because he's ate his health away? With this savory meat. Here's a man who has eaten himself into ill health. He loves his flesh. I told you now, don't get mad at me. I told you I'm not necessarily preaching on eating. Some men live for their flesh in lustful, immoral ways. Some in lazy ways. some in prideful ways. So you look around and say, well, I'm skinny and the preacher's not preaching on me. But you've been looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. You look around and say, well, I think he's preaching to so-and-so, but you wouldn't work a job. I'm talking about living for the flesh. The flesh manifests itself in all kind of ways. So, well, preacher's not preaching on me, but you're so proud, you look down at everybody. You may dress right, wear your hair right, say all the right things, but in your heart, you live for yourself. Mean as the devil. That old flesh. That old flesh is mean and rotten. Mine and yours. When it gets its way, that's the way it is. It's mean and rotten and sorry. Paul put it this way. He said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And he said in Philippians, he said, we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Here's a man who's living for the flesh. He's a man of pleasure. And his relationships are ruled by his flesh. Supper is more important than spiritual things. Flesh is more important than the Father. Eating is more important than eternity. And it's interesting to me that the son that he loved because he ate of his venison, you know what the Bible said about that son? It said he was a profane fornicator. See, the man who loved the flesh and loved the son because that son fed his flesh, that son turned out to be a man of flesh. So we've got a child of promise. What a wonderful beginning. But now he's become a man of pleasure. But before it's over, he becomes an object of pity. Here's Isaac. He's in the tent. I see him seated in the tent, licking his lips, waiting for that savory meat. And all of a sudden he smells. Ooh, I smell it coming. And here comes Jacob. Interesting, he thinks he's getting venison, but it's not venison, it's goat. The flesh never promises what it never delivers what it promises. And so he's sitting there, and here comes Jacob, dressed up like Esau. Isaac said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Esau." He said, "How have you found it so quickly?" He said, "Well, the Lord blessed me." That was no surprise to Isaac. He thought all the Lord's blessings were wrapped up in physical things. So he sets it before him, and I can see Isaac eating everything on the plate. I mean, it says, I have eaten of all. Did you ever eat? And when you got done eating the food that really looked good to you when you started, didn't look good to you anymore? Been there and done that, haven't we? So now he's sitting in there. His tummy is full. Jacob slips out. And all of a sudden, what is that? And here comes Esau. And Esau's got a plate of savory meat. And he said, I've come, my father. Here's the venison. Bless me. And the Bible said, Isaac said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. He said, who? I'm Esau. Here's the savory meat. And the Bible said, Isaac trembled. exceedingly. You know what strikes me here? We want to say to this man Isaac, as he sits there, his belly full, he's eaten of all, and now there's that smell of venison throughout that tent. We want to say to Isaac, had enough? You really hungered for that venison. Had enough now? The tent reeks of it now. Now you got more than you ever wanted. I wonder if Isaac said, take it away, take it away. I'm so full. It's making me nauseous. Take it away. I can't stand the smell of it. I'm so full. Take it away. I wonder if Isaac said, I wish I'd never heard of venison. Wish I'd never tasted it. Here's what the Bible said. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Be filled with his own ways. And the good man shall be satisfied from himself. You see, what's going to happen if you live for the flesh is one of these days, you're going to be like Isaac, sitting in the tent. You'll be fed up with what you've indulged in, and now you can't stop. You can't get rid of it. And the drunkard will say, I wish I'd never taken my first drink. And the doper will say, I wish I'd never smoked my first joint. And the whoremonger will say, I wish I'd never used my first woman. And the thief will say, I wish I'd never stolen. And the cusser will say, I wish I'd never said my first cuss word. And on and on and on it'll go. You'll have so much of that you indulge yourself in until you say, too much, too much. I wish I'd never seen it. I was preaching in Georgia. As a young man came to the service, and he came Sunday morning, he raised his hand that he's unsaved. He didn't come back Sunday night, but he came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Never raised his hand again, never came forward. But after the service, I was standing out in the foyer, shaking hands, and the preacher come, and he stuck his head out the door, and he said, Brother McBride, come in here and see if you can help this young man. I'd asked the young man his name the first day after he'd gone out, so I wanted to pray for him. He said, come see if you can help this young man. So I walked in the door. I didn't know who he was talking about. And I looked up in the choir loft, and there sat that young man. So I walked up beside him, sat down, called him by his name. He looked at me and he said, I know why you asked me my name. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, you've been praying for me, haven't you? And I said, I have. So he began to talk, and he said, I woke up in the middle of the night. He said, I'm hearing voices. And he said, a couple of nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and he said, I didn't imagine, I wasn't dreaming, I was wide awake, said, I heard a voice. And the voice said, you're all alone in this universe, and nobody loves you. There's no help for you. And I began to talk to him about being saved. He said, I did that. He said, I've done that 3 times. And he looked at me and he said, I can't be saved. I said, what do you mean you can't be saved? He said, I can't be saved because of my sin. God won't save me. In the course of the conversation several times, he said, God won't save me because of my sin. And I said, now, wait a minute, son. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean your sin? You keep talking about your sin. What are you talking about? We're all sinners. I said, what are you talking about? And he looked at me and he said, I am addicted to pornography. Said, when I was a young boy, I went camping with my dad. And my dad is a Christian. But there were unsaved men and unsaved teenagers went camping with us, and some of them brought pictures. And he said, I looked at them. And he said, now I sell things on the internet for a company. And he said, I spend Monday through Friday, I spend 8 hours on the internet, but he said, I only work an hour and a half. And he said, the rest of that time, every weekday, I spend surfing pornographic sites. And he said, I can't stop. He said, I have pornography at my house. I look at it on the computer, and he said, I can't stop. I began to tell him some things and talk to him about things. He said, preacher, he said, I'm 29 years old. And I drive down the road, and I see dads out playing T-ball with their kids with their sons, dads my age, people I went to school with. And he looked at me, tears in his eyes. He said, I'll never have a son. I'll never get married. He said, I don't know how to look at a woman. I don't know how to talk to a woman. And we talked, and I gave him scripture, and we talked. But here's what he was saying to me. I got more than I wanted. I got more than I bargained for. No doubt along the way, he said, I'd stop this any time. No doubt along the way, he said, this is just a harmless little habit. We were talking and he was crying. And then the strangest thing happened. I said something to him, and I don't remember what I said, and I don't know if it was because of what I said, but it was like he turned a switch. And his tears dried up, and his facial expression changed. And he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, well, this is good stuff, preacher, but I have to go. And he got up and left. It's like he flipped a switch. I gave him my phone number earlier in the conversation and told him to call me sometime and I'd pray with him. So he called me about a month later. It's the last I've ever heard from him. I said, how you doing? He said, well, my parents are sending me to a psychiatrist because I can't stop. Can you see Isaac in the tent saying, I don't want any more of this. Don't bring me any more. It's going to make me sick. Don't bring me any more. I've had enough. What I'm saying to you tonight is, if you live for the flesh, there'll come a day when you'll say, no more. Please, no more. I've had enough. Please, I don't want any more of this. Please, I want to stop. But you know what? You may could get to the place where you can turn the preacher off. But you won't come to the place where you can turn that flesh off. Not if you've been feeding it. And you'll end up like Isaac, an object of pity. Who wouldn't tremble? Think about this household. Think about the mess they're in. Isaac loves only Esau, and that for the wrong reason. Rebekah loves Jacob and schemes against her husband. Esau is profane and defiant against his parents. Jacob schemes against Esau and with Rebekah against Isaac. It's a house filled with favoritism, with lust, with lies, with hatred and murderous intentions. And where did it come from? From a daddy who lived for the flesh and put the flesh first. What we'd better do tonight is we'd better mortify the deeds of the flesh. We'd better die to self. We'd better deny ourselves. We'd better make ourselves a living sacrifice on the altar. A sacrifice alive unto God. We better reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin. And we'd better yield our members, servants, to righteousness. Because if we feed the flesh, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I want you to bow your head, please.